Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Coman, Head of Emerging Markets Research, EMEA. It's Friday, 16th September 2022. And in this week's podcast, Essan talks about emerging markets default risks. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Essan, we're turning the attention on emerging markets this week, and you have been telling me that risks are rising. Can you offer our listeners the current state of play?
Thank you, Una. So yes, some background to start, perhaps. So following four quarters of consecutive decline, the global debt to GDP ratio is edging back up, approaching 350% of GDP as of the latest estimates, and is set, in our view, to grow even larger over the months ahead. Now, Una, in US dollar terms, global debt, in fact, declined by some $5.5 trillion to $300 trillion as of the latest data for the second quarter of this year. And that's due to the largely sharp depreciation of G10 currencies against the US dollar this year. Now, rising funding costs are constraining the ability and the appetite for many emerging market sovereigns to tap international debt capital markets as more than a decade of cheap borrowing costs comes to an end and corporate bankruptcies are set to increase. So that was the big picture, Una, and breaking this down a little bit further. So with most countries only just starting to recover from the COVID-driven shock, the war in Ukraine has provided a further significant external shock, of course, for emerging market hard currency sovereign bonds this year. Now, indeed, an environment of heightened geopolitical risk, monetary tightening in something of a toxic combination is for emerging market nations as a whole. Now, this environment has prompted plenty of warnings from policymakers and the official sector about a further swathe of emerging market sovereign defaults and risks of a more systemic emerging market debt crisis. Now, a clear parallel has been to draw what's happened over the 1980s when a swathe of defaults and crises hit emerging markets on the back of the US Federal Reserve's aggressive rate hikes to tame persistent US inflation. Now, the quantum, Una, was that no less than nearly a third of the outstanding stock of emerging market external public debt defaulted at the time, primarily foreign currency bank loans. And in particular, from a regional perspective, Latin America stood out as sovereigns felt the pressure given the unsustainable buildup of external debt relative to exports seen in the region. So all in, Una, red-hot inflation, aggressive rate hikes, and a surging US dollar are reminiscent of the early 1980s, which was a decade that brought a wave of emerging market sovereign debt crises. And risks are indeed resurfacing that we could bear witness to a similar episode in the current environment.
And which economies are most at risk of defaults this time around, Essan?
So, you know, first, in terms of quantum, so currently around 25% of emerging market bonds are currently trading in distressed levels, that is, yields of more than 1,000 basis points above that of similar maturity US treasuries, which is a very strong marker in the market of when default becomes a real possibility. And the current 25% distress levels of debt is increasingly close to the north of 30% that we saw during COVID back in 2020, when we had a wave of credit defaults, no less than 5 sovereign ones, and just less than 60 corporate defaults. And the quantum in monetary terms that we're talking about here equates to around $340 billion of external debt outstanding trading today in distressed territory, according to our calculations. And digging this into a little bit of the micro, you know, to decipher where the pressure points lies in terms of which sovereigns are at risk today. So we've done some analysis to assess 50 emerging markets on 4 key metrics, namely US dollar bond yields, CDS spreads, interest payments, that is the difference between the primary and the overall budget balance, and finally government debt, to really derive a sovereign debt risk ranking, which reflects essentially the assessment of risk in global capital markets today, as well as fiscal sustainability to measure default risks. And so ultimately, what's at stake here in terms of vulnerability, it's the smaller, you know, higher yielding emerging markets, which are heavily indebted, that are being confronted with the Fed's twin tightening of higher cost of funding, as well as the withdrawal of liquidity alongside the lower gearing China, that are most susceptible, in our view, to default risk. So the likes of your El Salvador, Ghana, Tunisia, and Pakistan are the ones that really are the most concerning for us in the immediate term. Now, with this in mind, what we want to importantly flag is that our assessment currently points to contagion from these smaller emerging markets being rather limited for the remainder of this year and going into 2023, as more systemically important major countries are significantly more better insulated by healthier balance sheets, sizable reserve buffers, and less overvalued currencies. Though, and crucially, of course, in a cascade of credit events, the negative impact of the whole could indeed be larger than the sum of the parts. So anything from a broadening of inflation pressures to potential need to tighten domestic monetary policy faster than anticipated, to further bounce of volatility in commodities, to supply chain disruptions, all of this really, Una, can change the calculus fairly swiftly for more insulated emerging markets.
And finally, SN, how can policymakers respond in such times of distress across emerging markets?
So, you know, we had mentioned that we believe the current state of affairs resonates closely with the 1980s wave of defaults in emerging markets, notably Latin America. Now, during this period, the IMF significantly intervened, and we believe they will be getting significantly more busy once again, with the added challenge this time around, of course, being that the shock impacts not only emerging, but also developed markets. And so we see four factors to navigate the sea of troubles right now. First and top of mind, countries must do everything in their power, in our view, to bring down high inflation, as it's immensely damaging to living standards, which has stoked bouts of social and political instability in places. And so a continuation of tightening policy decisively is urgent, especially where inflation expectations are starting to have and indeed become de-anchored, as without action, disruptive wage price spirals could require forceful tightening and even more harm to growth and employment. Now, second, clear communication of policy actions are vital, as capital markets really do loathe information vacuums, and policy credibility needs to be forward guided in our view. Third, and beyond financial aid from the likes of the IMF, from an ESG aspect, investors do crave greater transparency in sovereign debt markets, and information on the obligations of emerging market sovereign borrowers is in fact woefully incomplete, especially in the private sector and to some extent sovereign lenders such as China. And in many cases, it is impossible really to judge how large these obligations are, when they will become due, their interest costs and other terms and conditions, including what collateral that may have been pledged to secure the borrowing. And so ultimately, for investors and rating agencies alike, to assess the creditworthiness of sovereign debtors and debt serviceability, it really does make it hard to restructure the debt in a timely manner before the prospects of default leads to a hard stop in lending and capital flight out of the country. And finally, fourth, food hoarding, that is securing tomorrow's supply by precautionary inventory building today, has led to no less than 30 emerging markets recently imposing restrictions on food exports, given a scarcity turbocharged by the war. And for us, reversing such food protectionism will strengthen supply chains and ease pressure on prices.
Thank you very much for sharing your insight, SN. Have a great week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Una. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.